This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Tiesto with On My Way. Isn't that nice? Weekend music.
I think if I had the last 4 years over, what I would have done on this show was secret record things. Because when we go to songs in this place, that's where
best shit comes out. Yeah.
And then do what with all of it, Ben?
I don't know. I would have just so much. I mean, I don't mean to sound cryptic, whatever.
You sound like Mark Zuckerberg,
yeah,
actually.
I would. Doesn't Zuckerberg he? It.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounds just like Zuckerberg. Well, I mean, do you want to explain this? Is it worth it? Do you mind?
No, I don't mind because I just find it funny.
Yeah, I hate putting people's face to the, you know.
No, not at all.
Frying That's pan, fine. But... Yeah. So this is funny. CSS test. Guys, let me give you some insight into my life. You remember he went to Bali?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little holiday. And he obviously behaved himself mostly and then didn't behave himself some
he
of the time.
He behaved like Sia.
Well, it's a holiday, Ben.
Yes.
You know? That's what I'm saying.
Right. We don't judge here.
Now, I had one clear goal for when specifically I went to Bali, and that was seeking inspiration from the movie How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Yes.
Is someone laughing and not taking me seriously? Thank you.
Which is all about going out there and just allowing your... It's like a sexual liberation movement.
Yes. But I mean, it's more like taking charge of your own life.
I mean, same.
So at a point, I was at a beach bar and it was a lazy afternoon. I had a cold drink in my hand. It was like a scene out of the Despacito music video. You're right, Ben. And this guy came up to me and firstly started talking in a Scottish accent, which just annoyed the heck out of me. But 2 seconds later, he referenced the fact that he now lives in France, and I think there's something romantic about that, so I loved it. And then we just had a great afternoon together. We had dinner and he took me on his bike. I mean, how
romantic.
Annoyingly romantic.
No,
is
it's
it?
Nice. I like
you're
this.
In this exotic place and you go on a bike ride with this guy, and that was it. We called it a night and, you know, it was great. We swapped numbers. We never really spoke up until last night, which just slightly freaks me out.
Why?
Because a holiday fling is meant to be just that, a holiday fling.
Right.
So he texts me last night telling me... I'm going to read it literally as he put it, and this is like a series of texts. He says, "Hi, I'm good. I'm planning a trip to South Africa." That's when my first feelers went up, because now I'm just like, why are you coming here, dude? Then he says, "But only to see you." Ooh. Weird.
Shit.
And then on top of that, he says, "It would be our second date." And so judging by the fact that I wasn't responding to him, he started going, "Uh-oh. Who the hell texts four M's in unison? That is weird." So he goes, "But seriously, I miss your kiss." So.
Nasty hoe.
Shut up, Mabali. How dare you? How dare Mabali call Sia a hoe?
No, this is a term of endearment. I'm not criticizing you.
Well, Sia.
That's just weird.
Sia, you must reap what you hoe.
Yes, Ben. 10 or points for you.
Here's Sia's new song.
This is Sia walking down the beach.
In Bali.
Hello, I'm from Scotland.
Oh, I'm Sia. This is your new theme music. Forget that stupid Pharrell and this is what we're using from now on. This is Sia's nasty home music.
It is not my fault. Did I?
Smoke weed, take pills, yes ma'am. Smoke crack, hell no. Kick ass, fuck hoes, fuck this, fuck that. Lick my nutsack.
Oh.
Hilarious.
Also, like, Gavin, your music library deserves the same kind of interrogation Mark Zuckerberg had to go through before US lawmakers.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
there's a lot of questionable things in your
What are you doing with the song? is the first question. Before we try to judge others, what are you doing with this song? Nasty ho, lick my nutsack, I mean.
Ah, that's funny though.
Putting it out
Nasty,
there.
You like it too. my buddy and I like it for the same reasons.
This is All my right. language. I understand
Nasty ho. All right, enough nonsense. Let's get into some stuff that matters. A lot of people want to start their day right. Mabali Moloi is here to help us do that.
So, you know, I mean, I imagine that for a lot of us, a good night's sleep is something very valuable, right? We'll always take one of those over most things.
Yes.
But there are a number of weird things that happen to a lot of us while we are sleeping. So I'm going to go through some of these. You tell me how many of these you've experienced. So most nights, if you're lucky, sleep is a completely unremarkable event, but every so often you may experience bizarre behaviors that can leave you feeling completely confused and perhaps slightly freaked out.
Your own bad behavior or someone else?
No, it's just stuff that happens to our bodies in our sleep.
Oh.
And then also our minds.
All right.
So a couple of doctors have been interviewed and they've come together to kind of decode some of the craziest things that can occur. Mm-hmm. For example, that typical feeling where it's almost as if you're falling from something.
Yes, that happens. Oh,
a building, a cliff. So that's happened to a lot of us in this room. It's also known as, and I'm pretty sure I'm not pronouncing this correctly, hypnagogic jerk.
That's exactly right.
It tends to happen as you are falling asleep. Mm-hmm. So typically when we dream, our bodies are essentially paralyzed, but sometimes we can start dreaming before our bodies go into that off mode. With hypnagogic jerks, you might act out a dream like falling off a cliff, falling from the sky, or tripping. Why the falling? Well, researchers aren't sure why, but it's more likely to happen when you're overtired or sleep deprived. And your brain enters into sleep cycles more aggressively, but your body hasn't caught up yet.
Well, haven't you ever had that feeling that you couldn't move, that you were paralyzed?
Yes.
Like with fear or whatever. You know, you're having a nightmare and you can't move.
Sleep paralysis.
That is sleep paralysis.
Right?
Mm,
no. It shows the same systems are in play, but they're playing in different ways.
Yes, no. Gareth, you're exactly right, because essentially sleep paralysis is the opposite of what happens with hypnagogic jerks. You start to wake up in the morning and realize you can't move a muscle or you can't even speak.
Yeah.
It can last for several seconds to several minutes and it is completely terrifying. Jeez. So it's the exact opposite of what happens with hypnagogic jerks, where your brain wakes up before the paralysis that accompanies the deep sleep. You may feel like you can't breathe. Many people describe it as an elephant sitting on their chest.
That's right.
That's because all of the muscles that control your breathing, except for the diaphragm, are still paralyzed.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
God, that's terrifying.
Has anybody ever sleepwalked?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't.
Someone would have told me.
Yes.
I sometimes feel like I'm sleepwalking, like when you're really overtired.
Somebody would have told you, or then maybe...
I would have bumped into things.
Yeah, or maybe you wake up in a strange place and you're like, how did I get here? Can you imagine how terrifying...
That must be the
I think a lot of drunk people have that
thing.
Happen.
So most sleep-related behaviors are harmless, but sleepwalking can be a dangerous issue since you can trip, walk into something, you can even leave your house.
Yeah, you could walk into the street, you could fall off a balcony.
Oh!
Oh no! You see, because there are people who do things while they're sleepwalking.
It's called somnambulism.
Oh!
Whoa!
Somnambulism.
I'm sleepwalking. Google that.
So with sleepwalking, you are coming out of sleep just enough for your body to move, but not enough for your brain to be awake.
God, that is scary. What's worse, that one, the hypnagogic jerk, or the sleep paralysis? Definitely the sleepwalking, right?
Yeah, the sleepwalking at this stage poses the most threat to you. So I would think that that's worse.
No, that's physically dangerous.
I mean, with sleep paralysis, you're not going anywhere because your body's not allowing you.
But I, you see, I've heard from people who suffer from that. And the worst is when, I don't know what the technical term is, but when you are aware that, oh, okay, my body is not moving. It's almost they're in a sleep state. It's almost like when you're dreaming and you're aware that you're dreaming. And that is terrifying to them. I cannot imagine what that's like. Yeah. Sure. I'd rather, you see, when you're sleepwalking, at least you're oblivious.
No, see how you can do damage. Like you're lying in bed, so you feel certain things, you think certain things. Hey, so what? You're not going to get hurt. You're lying in bed. Mm. I'd rather have that problem. You're lying in bed and you can't move.
Mm.
Scary as it is, you come right eventually.
It's paralyzed.
In very extreme cases, some people also get into their cars and start driving while sleepwalking.
What? Wow, that just shows you how stupid driving is.
In very extreme cases.
Like you don't even have to be conscious to be able to drive.
Can you imagine that? You get into your car, you start driving, but you are not aware that that's what you're doing.
And then you smash into something.
Because your brain is not awake just yet. Your body is just moving.
See, this is why driving is freaky.
Recurring dreams. I'm sure a lot of us have had this experience before. So dreaming is a way for your brain to sort out things it needs to reevaluate and process before it can file them away as memories. And recurring dreams may happen with unresolved psychological issues your brain is trying to sort out.
Hmm.
Oftentimes, recurring dreams are based partly in reality. Hmm. So, for example, if you were robbed, you might replay that over and over during sleep until you come to grips with it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So in other words, it could be, because I mean, some people have these repetitive dreams and they always try to find out what they mean.
Mm.
And then they go to some witch doctor or they go to a gypsy who's living in a tent or they go to someone with tarot cards, they go to someone with beads and they sit there with them and these people go, oh no, they're not going to help you. This makes a lot of sense to me. What your brain is trying to do is figure out what happened.
Yes.
Something traumatic has taken place. Takes your brain a while to figure out what to do next and whether you can get over it or not. So what it's doing is it's replaying that movie until you understand it. You ever watch, when you were at high school, did you ever do those film study classes where you would watch this movie but you'd break it down into mm-hmm. every conceivable tiny part and figure out what the narratives were from the different points of view of the different characters.
And what the purple curtains symbolized.
What the themes were. All of that shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what your brain's doing with your actual life. Subconsciously, it's busy trying to comprehend everything that's happened to you. Now, that makes a lot of sense. So if something keeps happening to you over and over again in a dream, maybe you've got shit to figure out.
Yeah, this is exactly what happened after my sister died and she had committed suicide. And the psychologist said to me, yeah, well, you know, you keep seeing her in this recurring dream because essentially when we go to sleep, our brains become like this filing system.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff needs to get downloaded and then needs to be saved in different folders.
And you know how your computer, like Mabs's phone the other day when she was late, her phone switched off because it was doing software upgrade.
Yes.
So your brain does a little software upgrade every now and then. You know those decluttering things that you get for your machine? Those
apps.
Those cleaners.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They come in and they clean out your disk and they tidy it up and they throw away all the bits of files that are lying around and, you know, they sort out your hard drive.
Yeah, I paid $15 for one the other day. And it's like windscreen wiper kind of thing happens.
And it works?
Says it does.
Has it freed up some space?
Maybe.
Between your two laptops, can you edit now without having to get stuck all the time?
My edit laptop's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good news. It's progress of a kind. Anyway, yeah, this is fascinating, this sleep stuff. Didn't we have a sleep scientist in here not so long ago who told us about how your brain files these stories? And you actually have a system exactly like the hard drive of a computer. And it branches off and then it's got different places it stores stuff. And every memory, every picture in your head, it's kind of like what Zuckerberg's doing with you on Facebook. Storing big files.
It all goes
back. It always comes
back
to Zuckerberg.
Yeah,
shame.
It's true.
Okay, this one is, this one can be so dangerous, I think. Sleep sex.
What?
There are people who wake up mid act, mid-sex, and they are like,
they're called liars. They're called liars.
I've got something to ask about this.
Okay, all right.
Is that Now this is controversial.
This is why I'm saying this one I think can be so dangerous.
What if you don't want, let's say you, all right, I mean, there are a number of situations where two people who are not attracted to each other or even interested in each other end up having to share a bed. Maybe you're, you know, on a holiday somewhere or something. I don't know what it might be. Maybe you just had to crash somewhere together. You were in a hurry. There was only one room available. Who knows what it is. Now, technically you're not interested and they're not interested. But this happens. The sleep sex thing happens. Is that rape?
You see, this is why it becomes dangerous.
Because she or he could wake up the next morning and go, I didn't want to do that. Or they wake up mid-act, as Mub says, and they're like, what the fuck is going on here?
I can also say I sleepwalk to your room.
Yeah, and then how do you know that's for real? What if they're just a creep? What if they're just a creep and they're pretending that they have this sleep sex problem or they've got sleepwalking problems? Meanwhile, this is how rapey they get.
So according to researchers at the University of Health Network in Toronto, they conducted a study of more than 800 patients at a sleep disorders center. So these were people who were confirmed that they have sleeping disorders to begin with. And they say that about 8% of their patients reported incidents of sexsomnia. That is when you initiate sex with your partner while asleep.
I can tell Ben thinks this is bullshit.
As a parasomnia, the phenomenon is similar to sleepwalking. So you're coming partly out of a deep sleep enough that you can move and possibly talk, but your brain isn't awake enough to be fully conscious.
Ooh, sounds like the perfect excuse for a creep.
I've got sexsomnia.
Bullshit.
But all of these things are such intricate, like they have intricate parts and details, and how do
you can't scientifically prove something that's already happened. How do you prove that? Sure. The next morning when you're both conscious and awake, and he goes, I don't remember that. And you go, but you had sex with me. And he's like, no, I didn't. Yes, I did. What? I didn't want to have sex with you. No, I didn't want to have sex with you. What? How did this happen?
That's so weird.
But also, how far would it go before the other person also wakes up and realizes what's happening? Like, has anybody ever tried to wake you up using sex?
No.
So what I'm saying is, in my mind, if this person suffered,
I need a little bit of warning.
I'm saying, in my mind, if this person did in fact suffer from sexsomnia, the moment that he starts touching me, I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna like push him off and stop him and say, hey, snap out of it.
Yeah.
So how far would it actually go before I wake up and put a stop to it?
You mean how deep would he be in?
Come on, Mubs.
And also, does this mean that they are...
I'm saying, I don't think I'm going to be like... you know, I don't think he's going to be 3 minutes in and then only I wake up like, oh, what's happening?
You don't wake up calm.
Wake up like Sleeping Beauty.
The moment he starts touching me and pulling at my...
You're like a Disney princess.
I'm like, hey, what's going on?
Oh, Prince Charming, you've woken me from 1,000 years of sleep with your dick.
Yes.
Yes, you would be startled. Yeah. All right.
So it wouldn't get that far. I don't think it would get to penetrative levels.
Well.
Because I'd be like, why are you on me?
Maybe the best scenario is you have these very vivid dreams and he has the sexsomnia.
Oh.
He's getting what he wants. You're getting what you want. Neither of you even know.
Oh, jeez.
You're like the best relationship ever. Neither of you ever need like conscious sex because every night he's busy falling asleep and banging your brains out without himself knowing. And you're going, wow, I had this great dream about having sex with you last night. And he's like, me too. Neither of you actually know that you've ever done it. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Yeah, that would be funny, actually.
I mean, your timing would have to be pretty good. Otherwise, it would ruin everything.
Sure.
Because you wake up and you're like, I had the best dream last night. And he's like, I got nothing. It's amazing. You see, this is where we're starting to figure stuff out about how our very complicated brains work.
Mm-mm.
We don't know the first thing about how our brains are working.
See,
we've figured out a tiny percentage of how it all happens. We know it's got to do with electrical, you know, discharges down the neurons, and we've got ideas that it all happens at the synapses, and but we don't really know anything.
No, not really.
And we can't replicate it, and we can't test it, and it doesn't always happen the same way, and it's so mysterious, this brain of ours. There was a real lust for knowledge in this respect when I was at school. I wanted to know how these brain cells worked so badly, and there's nothing, there's no research that's, I mean, don't get me wrong, because I know I'll get messages from doctors who will tell me, no, that we've figured out a lot. And of course we have, in terms of, you know, the kind of care that we can administer and what the different parts of the brain do and how the neuron is built and blah, blah, blah. But how thinking works and how it all, where the stuff is stored, like physically, where is this information stored? How is it stored? You know, in a computer, you know, it's binary code, right? It's ones and zeros. And it gets stored on a actual disk drive that turns. I mean, this is, you can figure out the technological way of how it works, but we still don't know exactly how it works in the brain cells. If you do, please come and tell us, because this would be, I could do like a 3-hour podcast just listening to you if you have these answers. Maybe we should get a neuroscientist in here.
Definitely.
I would be fascinated to talk to one. Come and tell us if you're one of those people who's really, really clued up about this stuff, or you know someone who is. That would be fascinating.
I'd also love to know that, you know, because it's all very biological, so we can talk about the cells and connections in that way, but then the impact of nurture as well, what that has on the actual brain chemistry.
Right, and then you go from that, once we've got some kind of grip on that, you start to figure out what nutrition or medication or drugs do to the brain.
Yes.
And how that changes the way that it works. I really hope that we can, in my lifetime, get to a point where we know some of these answers. Just a few. I don't expect everything to be solved, but I would love to know, just from a thirst for knowledge point of view, how some of this stuff works. I think it's amazing. Because we could solve so many problems. Mm. Imagine how many things like epilepsy or mental illness or people who have, they go into a coma and you need to pull them out of a coma. I mean, imagine if we could figure out how to do that stuff chemically. What the balances between certain cells would mean. How, I know that they've largely figured out how these charges move up and down. How they move through the nerve.
You are onto something
there. I'm massively turned on by this stuff.
Imagine really like photosensitive epilepsy, and you're able to get into the brain to be able to diffuse that when someone sees these bright lights or several images, they're untriggered in any way. Wow.
All right, here's someone, a couple of messages around this. Wow, I've been having the same dream about my dad who passed away 21 years ago for the last 21 years. Clearly, I need help, Vanessa. Well, you might want to go and get some therapy on that. Maybe you can stop dreaming the same thing over and over again, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do with it, but that could be a reason why you're having it. I used to smoke weed, and when I did, I never had dreams at night. So I figured out the weed just moved all the files that needed to be processed right into the recycle bin. Weed just selects all straight to the trash bin.
You blacked out.
And weed probably empties the trash as well, so you can't even recover those files. If the woman had sexsomnia, the man won't be dramatic to call it rape. That's from Justice. That's how my eldest was conceived, says Grant. My missus woke me up at 2 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's different.
Grant was ready to go.
You were woken up, Grant. someone says, the article says, initiate sex, maybe not being that, asking for a friend. I don't know what you mean there. What is you sleeping next to your sister? I think what they mean is what if you're sleeping next to your sister and this happens? That would be horrible.
Yeah, that would, I think that would change the family structure forever.
Mm-hmm. In the wrong ways.
In all the wrong ways.
I mean, even in Roman times, that was frowned upon. Oh.
Even in Roman times, and those people had no scruples.
What if you're sleeping next to a kid? Oh, that's just weird now.
Mm. Kate says, I've been, for God's sake, this stupid. I don't like this screen, Sia. Can we get rid of it? Okay. Oh, this is horrible.
What's?
I don't know. It just doesn't work properly. Okay. Halfway to my appointment this morning, before I realized I'd forgotten to switch on cliffcentral.com, says Kate. And then there's a continuation. I hate the screen. And I was still listening to FM radio. Lord, I feel like I've wasted brain cells on dumb jocks and pop music. Well, Kate, you know, we try to help you where we can. Get back on the reserve.
Also welcome.
Yes, of course. And yes, thank you, Mubs, for being polite when I forgot to do so. I highly recommend a book. The Brain is just incredibly fascinating. The book is phenomenal. I've listened to You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter, and thought you might enjoy it too. It's totally free. It's your first time accepting an Audible book, blah, blah, blah. Oh, so you can get this audio book. That's what I think this person's onto. It's called You Are the Placebo, Making Your Mind Matter.
Okay.
Check that out. And one of the recent editions of New Scientist is all about sleep and dreams. That's from Liesl. Well, this is fascinating. Look what you've done, Mubs. You've started something.
You know how Netflix has a ton of documentaries on health stuff, especially food-related stuff?
Yes.
Maybe it's worth doing a search to find if there are any on the brain or psychology. I'm sure there is.
Brains! We need to know more about brains.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe that's why zombies love brains.
Oh, yes.
Because they want to have, what is it called? Sexomnia.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe Sia needs that.
Oh, here we go.
All right, now. Your new anthem. Which Gareth just happens to have in his stash. I'm looking at him so, like, differently right now.
This is so weird. This is so your new song. I don't care what happens from here.
Oh, my goodness.
You nasty hoe. If someone Scottish lands at O.R. Tambo and they're looking for Sia, then if they mention the name Sia, then for God's sake, put them back in a plane and send them away. He doesn't want it. He's not interested. That was a holiday fling. He's not
for
interested.
For a reason.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, Sia. Mm-mm. Nobody wants permanence when they're looking for fun. Nah. Hell yeah. All right, let's move on. What else is in the news?
So if you have anything essential that you need to get done, you only have 10 days to do it because we have a new date for the end of the world. You know how every year like dates get issued for when the world is going to end.
Of course.
So we've got a new date for you. It's April the 23rd, so it literally gives you 10 days to get your shit together.
Mabali, why would you want us so late?
I only found this out yesterday myself. I'm sorry. I know I'm slacking in this department, but you know, I've been busy living. But as it turns out, none of us are going to get to continue doing that
you
for a while.
You better get busy dying. Any last requests? Ben, what do you want to do if you've got 10 days left to live?
Make sure that the two cats get along.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
That's what I'm working on.
He'd like
right
to
now.
Leave his house in order by making the cats get along.
Sure.
Mubs, last requests. You've got 10 days to go. What do you want to do with those 10 days?
Set fire to something.
I want to go to the Caribbean. Okay. I might as well.
That's a good place to watch the end of the world.
Cash it all in, all the money that I've got left, and go away with someone.
Yes. Yeah. Who would that be?
Sia.
Mabali would not take Sia. No.
Sia would just chum all the men from the area. It would be like a worm on a hook. Mabali would cast him out into the beach.
Wow.
Mabali would like spray Dolce & Gabbana head to toe and just cast him out to the beach with a rod.
That brings a new meaning to tag team.
Yes, girl. No, the problem is tumble. They'll want to fly halfway across the world for you. That's the problem. So no.
No, well, Mabali would kill them afterwards, like a praying mantis.
Oh, and we'll all die in any case. 10 days
to go. She's not leaving them in a good state.
All right. Yeah, I like that idea. I would want to spend if I've got 10 days, I'll spend 5 of them with family.
Okay.
And the other 5, I think I must just go into a serious high. I would because I've never taken drugs, so I would go
fucking balls deep.
Will that be your final 5 days?
I would take drugs, you're right.
Yeah, I would take all of them, because then you don't really, if there's pain, you're not going to feel it. If you're just going to have like this total mesmerizing 5 day high that goes straight into Armageddon. Mm. Of course, you're going to feel like shit the next day.
Well, we'll
happen.
All be dead. So, on the 23rd, which is the case.
And the nice thing about it is, if you develop a drug addiction, it's fine because there's only 10 days left. So, you don't have to worry about going into rehab and, getting your shit together.
I wonder what most people would do, like, especially if you had kids and responsibilities in life.
It would not be spending time with those kids. Just give someone 10 days guilt-free, they'll be like, kids, there's the TV remote, I'm out of here.
You reckon, huh?
I reckon.
Wow.
You were to give any parent an ecstasy tablet in 10 days, they would be like, cool, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting question from somebody. Gareth, you seem to have beef with Mark Zuckerberg.
No.
I don't really. Listen, there's probably a part of me that... Like, I was jealous of Oprah Winfrey for years and didn't understand why I hated her. And I don't hate Oprah anymore. I've figured out that I'm actually in admiration of her most of the time.
Well, why did you think you hated her initially?
Because she's so successful, and I felt like a loser by comparison.
All right.
You figure out your own insecurities, given enough time and a bit of wisdom and some insight and thought. But I really respect Oprah, despite the fact that we have totally different ways of approaching things. She's a, you know what Oprah is anyway. So Zuckerberg is this guy who, part of him is a genius because he figured out a way to turn what was just a student port. Even if you believe that he stole the idea from those
Winklevoss
twins,
whatever. Even if you think he did that, and he says he didn't, even if he did. He still turned it into a huge company. He still turned it into something monstrous, which they might not have been able to do.
Monstrous.
All right. And it is monstrous. It's the biggest information corporation in the universe. It's also the biggest advertising business on Earth. Either them or Google, but take your pick. It's right up there. It's a behemoth. It's enormous. So I don't have a beef with him. I think he's a person who is creepy. I wouldn't trust him. Like, I wouldn't leave him the keys to my house. But we all put information online all the time that he knows. He has. We know he uses it. And he doesn't just use it. He passes it on to other people who use it for nefarious purposes. So I don't have a beef with him. I think we've just got to all be very aware of what's going on around us. Go into Facebook. I use it to check birthdays.
No.
Zuckerberg's on to you.
You did say as well when you went to Facebook headquarters in Silicon Valley that one of the things that stuck out for you was this worshipping and God complex that the staff members you met at Facebook have
about him
for Mark, and that's also concerning.
That does worry me. That was the thing, that was where I turned, because I was keen to go and see Facebook, and they have a great campus. It's like a really highly specialized varsity campus, right? And everybody there seems to be having a good time. I won't lie, they work hard, but they're having a good time, and they do keep you there. They've got like 10 different kinds of restaurant on the campus. They've got places where you can sleep, places where you can read, places where you can chill. It's like every millennial in the workforce's dream. It really is. And they've got brilliant people there, so it's not like these are idiots. But the way that the one particular person was talking about him made me very nervous. It sounded like, you would have heard a German talking like that about Hitler in 1938.
Yeah, he's probably plugging things into their sleep. He's like, hey, guys, there's this really great sleep app that we're trialing.
Oh, wow.
Meanwhile, you're fast asleep, and it's like, worship me.
So Ben is really the one who doesn't trust him at all. But to go back to the message, would you like to spend a day with him or Trump if you were offered all the money you wanted? Yeah.
Without doubt, I'd spend a day with Trump. We'd play golf. He would say things really inappropriate. I would polite laugh, but I'll be on a golf course.
You would easily choose Trump. Well, who would you choose if you had to choose Zuckerberg or Trump?
That guy will look at you for 3 seconds and you want to take a bath.
Mm.
Well, Trump has always just been more fascinating to me, even before his
and to figure out
with the presidency.
He's a little bit weird, right? Like, Trump's a bit fucking. He's on the edge.
Trump also seems like a good time guy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You'd party
Zuckerberg,
with him.
Zuckerberg, not necessarily.
Mike, so are you frozen? Have you?
I think it's my only option.
Oh. Yeah.
It's not.
All right, I'll give you a third one. Gedleyhlekisa Zuma.
Oh.
Spend a day with Zuckerberg, Jacob Gedleyhlekisa Zuma, or Donald J. Trump. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be?
Don't feel bad. Trump as it is.
Yeah, look, you know, Zuckerberg comes across as he's like, there's not going to be any fun time.
What would you talk about with Zuckerberg?
So yeah. Awkward. It's going to be awkward. Everything's going to be awkward. And so uncomfortable.
And then with the other two, there's just varying degrees of creep levels to them. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll throw in Silvio Berlusconi. Let's make this really cool. You're not so hard for you to choose. I don't know. I'd go with Trump as well. I mean, he's also the president, and he's had interesting life experience, and he's got stories to tell.
Mm.
You know, I'd like to know. I'd like to ask him things like, how do you really feel about Hillary? Because you invited her to your wedding. And do you just do this to fire up your base, or do you really hate her? Do you think she's evil? And how did you come up with that brilliant crooked Hillary thing?
Mm.
And I'd like to know how he feels about the various women that he's had in his life, because that's also a checkered past. You know, Ivanka?
Yeah, how many have Ivanka's you been again?
Ivanka's the daughter.
Ivana
was the wife. Right. It's hard sometimes with Trump to remember which one's his daughter and which one's his wife, based on what he says. Melania, Stormy Daniels.
Marla Maples.
I mean, this is a fascinating story. Plus, he's been around. He's been a media character for years. I mean, the first time he announced his presidency or his interest in the presidency was on the Oprah Winfrey Show in the 1980s. That would be interesting to listen to this guy. So, yeah, there we go. Long-winded answer to a good question. Hey, I love Ben's videos on YouTube.
New one coming up today. Thank you.
Very professional, says somebody here. How's that, Ben? Duncan from England. He says, especially the fastest golf hole. Only feedback, mix up the background music for different videos. That's from Duncan. Bit of feedback for you as well.
The background music is the hardest thing because you obviously got to find the right sort of right tree stuff. But, yeah, it is very much a plan.
Just by the way, that fastest golf hole, Ben hits the ball. I know Sia and Mubs and I are not particularly well-versed in golf.
That's probably my best video.
He tees off and then he runs with just his bag, which he's minimized to the absolute necessities in terms of clubs. He tees off and he runs immediately after the ball's taken off. He runs after it, then he hits it again, then he hits it onto the green, then he putts it straight into the hole. And he does it all in how long?
Well, that was just 2:22.
Jesus.
So then I did some research. The world record is 1:50.
For a par 3?
So the world record for the fastest golf hole has to be 500 yards, and you have to start with the clubs and finish with the same amount of clubs. I reckon I can do this.
You're going to try and beat that record?
Yeah, because what I was doing for this video was just to make a fastest hole video, as in it's just something different for golf content.
Mm-hmm.
But if I now know that I can do that hole in 1:49, which I know I can, well, I can have a world record. How cool would that be?
How many practice sessions did you have before filming the video?
Okay, so I was very lucky. It was all done on the fly. I just happened to hit the ball really well that day. Like, it was complete luck. So when you try it, it all depends on the tee shot. If you hit your first shot skew, you're screwed. It's got to be perfect down the middle because there's no room for error here. You can't be looking for your ball or having to hit balls from different areas. It's got to go to the hole quick. So then, yeah, on the back of that video, which I made purely for a bit of fun, I now know I can try to break this record.
Yeah, you're so close to it.
Because here, the ball goes through the altitude.
How much time do you have to shave off?
30 seconds, but I know exactly where I can do it. Because it was just me.
And you were on your own filming this as well?
I had someone on a golf cart.
Okay. Well, you're going to need some assistance if you're going to break
records. On the golf carts.
And you'll need witnesses. You'll probably need the Guinness Book of Records people there with their...
Well, see,
measurement devices.
The thing about Guinness Book of Records is they're a bunch of money-hungry dicks. So basically, if they want to come out here, they'll probably charge me like 200,000 rand.
Right.
But if I got witnesses and YouTube...
Who cares what they say?
Screw it.
All right, very good. I'm afraid that's all we got time for in the news today, but we've got the guys from Lifestyle popping by in a moment or two. We're going to talk about this health and wellness revolution, which everybody's into at the moment. And remember... I mentioned earlier that we've got a picture of one dude is spending his weekend with a bottle of Haig Clubman. And I actually saw them in the store the other day. They looked fantastic. It's these beautiful blue bottles. David Beckham is many things. He's a world-famous footballer, a father, a style icon, and the man who made tattoos mainstream. And the reason I bring him up while we're talking about whiskey is because he is refined and cool like his own whiskey, which is called Haig Clubman. It is also changing the game, breaking the rules, doing things differently. I had an unconventional, unradio conversation with David Beckham about Haig Clubman, his family, being an entrepreneur, and breaking the rules. You can download the podcast now on cliffcentral.com. Haig Clubman, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. Mabali.
Always. Always responsibly.
All right. So, the health and wellness revolution is all about how healthy we are, what we're eating, what we put into our body, what we put into our food, because you know these days they put all these growth hormones, which some people are suspicious of. Some people think it's perfectly okay. I don't have a problem with the growth hormones. If it means that my peaches and my apples are bigger and juicier, I'm cool with that.
I mean, you have so many schools of thought that believe that we basically eat our way to cancer because of all the stuff that ends up in our food.
That's right. Do you grow any food at home? Because this is what a lot of people are asking themselves. Should we be growing our own food at home? And, you know, we always check in with our own experts in the field and with our own people who know more about this than we do, and that is with Robin at Lifestyle Home and Garden. And she's here this morning. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Good morning, Gareth. I'm very well, thanks. How are you guys?
Good. Extremely well. First of all, I saw the designs for the first time that you guys have done for our garden that we're going to have outside here.
And what do you think?
Magic.
Oh, wow.
Magic.
I'm so happy.
I can't believe that I was kept in the dark for so long. See, as I said to him this morning, yeah, I haven't heard anything about what Lifestyle are planning to do. So he said, oh, we've all been copied on that email. Didn't you get it? I felt very left out.
Oh, shame. And then I saw it this morning. And now you got a wonderful surprise.
I know. I can't wait. Let me just show Mubs quickly, because this is what's going to happen here at the entrance, my buddy.
Look, okay.
I'm going to put up all these plants. They're going to have a little water feature. You see that?
That's very nice. Entrance.
Isn't that nice? I'm very excited, Robin.
That's good. We're also very excited. I think that even your guests are going to be blown away by what they're going to see when they come in.
That's what we want. We want them to see what you guys can do too. And by the way, you were here on the sex show on Friday last week.
Well, we weren't here, but we did have some products creating a wonderful environment.
No. I heard those plants, where are they? They're on that windowsill now. There are plants that are specifically... like about creating a sexy feeling.
Oh.
So that,
what are they called?
That is fennel.
Oh, fennel.
And what?
It's a herb.
Yeah, it's a herb and you can grow it. And we thought that that creates the same like sensual feeling as dragging or like rubbing a feather on the body would. So it's, you know, that's easy access when those sensual moments come up. And I think that it's so nice because you can grow it yourself in your kitchen, use it in your cooking, and also, you know,
tickle each other with it.
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay, and these, what are these things? Because these apparently provide more oxygen.
Yeah, so this is a Sansevieria, and it's exactly what I was telling you guys about when I was here about 2 months ago. It's called a snake plant or mother-in-law's tongue.
Look at that. Does your mother-in-law's tongue look like that? I'll take a picture of it. It's horrendous. If your mother-in-law's tongue looks like that, she is definitely related to Mark Zuckerberg. All right, but these things do what?
So they absorb carbon dioxide and they release oxygen. So it's very good that you have it in your studio here because it's right now creating a more productive environment. Obviously, it's going to help with your concentration.
Stimulate the brain.
Exactly, exactly.
Help with respiration.
And they're very low maintenance, so they're easy to look after.
Magic.
So, Gareth, I'm sure you can keep it alive, hopefully.
Oh, no, these we're good with. And you know who our in-house plant minder is Celeste.
Okay, so it's her duty to keep them alive.
Celeste runs around and kind of waters plants. And the only thing she's killed so far is one of mine. But I didn't buy that from Lifestyle Home and Garden, so it might have been slightly inferior.
I'm sure
inferior.
The quality wasn't that
it
good.
It was definitely inferior. I bought that, passing by the shops once. So that was my own fault.
So you are charging a person who's already killed one of your plants to take care of all the plants.
No.
Meanwhile, Big Kale Ben here is keeping things alive. Alive and growing them strong.
Yes, Big Kale Ben, it's time for you to boast. The last time we checked in with Robin, you'd only just started this experiment.
Well, I don't think it's a boasting exercise.
Well, tell Robin, go on.
I applied myself to planting something of a natural basis, and I'm eating it.
Oh, wow, I'm
got
very
kale.
Impressed.
So my small kale has become bigger kale, and now it's going into things. Ben. I have smoothies, I have salads with the kale that I've grown.
That's very impressive. So I think you should be in charge of the mother-in-law's tongues that are in the office.
Yes.
I've got stuff to do here. I mean, come on.
I'm kind of with Robin. All right, let's get back to this health and wellness thing. So we were talking about food and people growing their own stuff because there is a lot of talk around how we genetically modify certain plants, what kinds of pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and all kinds of other things we use, and how some of that stuff might not be the best thing for us.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's this whole health and wellness revolution that's driving people to grow their own food. And mm-hmm. you can see it's all over. There's so much information about it. Because not only does it allow you to have crops that you can feed yourself and your family and obviously your community with, but you know the source of where that food is coming from. If you're going to plant it yourself, whether you choose seeds and literally start from the very beginning, or even if you choose seedlings, you are deciding if you're going to use an organic fertilizer or not an organic fertilizer. If you're going to obviously spray for pests, or you're not going to do that, where does the water come from? You know, are you using clean water, or, you know, all those types of things? What is actually going in? What is the source of that food? And yeah, whether it's healthy or something that, you know, you just buy off the shelf and you're not really sure what's gone into it or where it comes from.
Do you have a position on fertilizer? Are you particular about what you would use?
Fertilizer is very important. And I think that it's definitely up to each individual, but personally I would use an organic fertilizer because it can give all the nutrients that the plant needs, but, you know, obviously in a more responsible way. And also, especially with edibles, you have to use organic because you have to know that you're not going to be putting chemicals into your body.
Right. Exactly. Although, I mean, some people like putting chemicals into
it. Yeah. Well, if you like that, there's always an alternative.
All right. So fertilizer is important, but water, I mean, how many of us can be sure that the water that we use to water our gardens, to even the stuff that comes out of our tap that we drink straight out of the tap, how can we be so sure that that is as pure as it should be, or that the right kinds of minerals are in there?
Yeah, I guess it's really difficult. We don't know.
And that's no one's sitting at home doing chemical spectroscopy of every drop of the drinking water. It's ridiculous.
No. I know it's difficult to, you know, always know what's going in, but at least you have control when you grow your own. And I think that's what people like, you know, if they're going to drink their water, or they're going to filter or purify and use that water to water their herbs and veggies because they know they're going to eat it, then at least you know you're in control of that process.
What about, I mean, we talk about fertilizer, but a lot of people are very nervous about what kinds of soil to use. And I know that there are things like compost or manure,
yes,
things like that that can be helpful. And just because we know where manure comes from, like the back end of cows and horses and sheep and all kinds of other things, doesn't mean that it's bad for you if it goes through the plant and the plant can use it as fuel.
Oh, no, absolutely not. As long as you buy a good quality compost, there's obviously, you know, people who make compost on the side of the road, sell it as compost, and it's not necessarily, you know, got the good nutrients and that.
What might that be?
I do not know, and I'd rather not know, I think.
That's horrendous.
But, you know, if you're obviously going to buy a good quality compost or make your own from obviously your food waste and that type of thing, there's a lot of programs and different products that you can
you can actually make it in like a bin,
like a composting bin. You know, a lot of people love to use their own food waste, not obviously throw that away, but recycle it, and then you can actually produce your own healthy compost in your garden. And we do have solutions for that as well, and a lot of information out there, so I think that's also a good option.
I know somebody who's horrified because in Cape Town, people are very into recycling and composting, yes, and all of this stuff. And they're horrified by how most people in Gauteng don't care about this stuff by comparison. I don't know if that's true or not. But ideally, we all want to get to a point where we produce as little waste as possible.
Definitely.
And where we use what we have better.
Yes, exactly.
And composting is one way to do that.
Composting is definitely one way to do that. And the other thing, growing your own food is actually also another way to do that. Because think, if you go to the shop, you know, if you want to buy kale versus mm-hmm. growing your own, like Ben is doing, then you're going to buy a few bags of kale. What if the expiry date is all the same and then you don't use it? You're going to throw it away. If you grow your own, you can plant so that you have some mature, some new plants, harvest at different times so that you're not wasting. You're only picking exactly what you need.
And that stuff you're buying from the shop's full of packaging and, you know.
Yes, packaging, exactly. If you're just cutting little snips from your own garden, there's absolutely no rubbish with that, no packaging, and then hopefully no waste because you literally use what you're growing.
That sounds brilliant. All right, so what can we get from you guys that'll help us to do this? I mean, there's got to be some way we can just come over there and fill up like a wheelbarrow or a trolley with stuff and then we get started.
Absolutely. I think we have the full solution. Whether you want to plant in your own garden beds or you're looking for some planter boxes, obviously if you have a balcony, there's even a solution for that. Even if you don't have a balcony or a garden, there's things such as windowsill boxes, which you can do exactly the same with. You just need a little bit of a sunlit area. And we have all the containers, otherwise garden beds. We have the seeds and seedlings. So you can start from the very beginning, planting the seeds, watching the whole process, or you can plant ready to use, literally plant, and that very minute you finish planting, you can snip off a piece.
Beautiful.
So we have both of those. Some plants even are fully grown with fruit or veggies already on them. So if it's season.
I mean, for me, that's perfect. I'm so lazy.
You can buy eggplants that already have little eggplants on and almost chop them
Fantastic.
Off as you plant the plant and then obviously wait for more to grow. And then we also have all the hardware to support that, the fertilizers, the plant food, potting soil if you need, and even the tools. I think, you know, it's nice to always get some gloves if you don't like to get your hands dirty, even though we do encourage it. And also little tools so that you can harvest and keep maintaining planting different things seasonally. We have the whole solution. And I think, you know, people want that food security, knowing that they can have nutritious and obviously sufficient food to feed their family.
Damn
and
right.
You never know what's going to be available. So
at least until Julius gets us the land,
yeah,
we'll need to start growing what little things we have in what little land we have. So
exactly.
We can start making progress.
Exactly.
If we want this land, we're going to need to start farming somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, I love it. All right, so if you haven't been there before, all I can say is you have to go and check it out, the Lifestyle Home Garden Center. It's the most awesome place, and Lifestyle Home Garden is right in the middle of it. They've got everything you could possibly imagine, exquisite plants, garden and home decor, accessories, hardware, and tools. They've got people like Robin there who know exactly what they're talking about, who can help you to figure out your way. And the center is there to inspire the creative, the garden guru, the newbie, the young enthusiast, the passionate homeowner. That's all about lifestyle, the kind of lifestyle that is created in an attempt to help you create and choose your own way of life. Lifestyle Home Garden has over 3,000 plant varieties available at any given time. The team has over 150 years of combined management experience, and they're the winners of 18 Best of Joburg Awards.
It's actually 19, guys.
Oh, my God, 19. Look, the clock keeps... What's going on there, George? You're ruining my microphones.
Sorry.
George Meany comes in and like breaks things. So you met George Meany? Have you met Robin?
No. Hello, Robin.
Hi,
hello,
George.
Ben.
Very
hello,
nice
Bavali.
Right.
Robin Scher is from Lifestyle Home Garden. We were talking about what we can. Do you grow any plants, George?
I was just thinking outside there. I'm an avid coffee lover. I love coffee.
Yes.
So when I was down in KZN in December, there's this coffee farm in the mountains called Beaver Creek.
Yes, beautiful.
Beautiful place. And I bought myself 4 coffee plants.
Oh,
and I
wow.
planted them in my garden. But the downside of these frickin' coffee plants, it takes 5 years to create coffee beans.
No. All good things come with
and
time.
And then you have to make them into, I mean, that's a complicated process, by the way. It's
yeah,
not,
apparently, but I'm going to try.
It's a good story,
that's
though.
Good,
I
mean, and they're pretty
nothing
trees.
Else, these are great stories. Like, I'm growing this currently.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be useless, but it's
Spot
still
on.
A good story.
So if you want to know more, go to lifestyle.co.za. And remember, winter's coming, so we'll check in with Robin again soon to find out what we can and can't plant in the winter. What we can and can't do for indoor plants in the winter, and we'll get our own Cliff Central garden going with Ari and Jane, who are who are going to start looking after our plants. And I'm very nervous about that.
You know, like the last thing I'm going to say about this, seeing as I'm such an avid gardener, it is so much
yeah,
more rewarding
your
than you
one-tail
possibly
plant.
Think. And the thing is, you can do this with just a pot, one little pot. You don't
yeah.
have to have a garden. You can start with a pot.
That's exactly.
That's
right.
why. That's why I find it so amazing about this.
All right, Robin, don't run away. Stay here and hear what George has to say. George Meany's here, the CEO of Auto Trader. We're going to talk to him about our weekly roundup in what's going on with cars, what's going on with our roads, what's going on with all the things that we're interested in technologically. What do you got for us today? I'm always excited.
BMW.
Yes.
South Africa
mm-hmm.
has one of the oldest manufacturing plants in Roslyn
yeah.
outside of Germany.
So we are going to be producing the X3 for the rest of the world. And we've been building the 3 series for 35 years. We've produced almost 1.2 million 3 series cars over those 35 years. Hmm. And now we've got the production for the X3 for the export market. So 160 million rand's been poured into that plant to increase production from 70,000 vehicles to 76,000.
Be careful
vehicles.
Using the word plant around Robin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was about to get confused there.
That's true. So that's exciting. I think
that's incredible.
I think BMW are doing a good job to invest in the country. You know.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, we buy a lot of BMWs in South Africa, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do.
We're a big market for
BMWs
them.
BMWs and GTIs and mm-hmm. Fortuners, mm-hmm. Especially in Pretoria.
What are you saying about Pretoria?
They like Fortuners.
Yeah, careful now. You know I'm from there.
I always heard it was the Four Ways Prado.
What, the Fortuner?
Yeah.
Probably is.
The Four Ways Prado. Ben's thinking a lot about Four Ways at the moment because he got a new cat that's originally from Four Ways. Boot.
Your cat's from Four Ways.
No, yeah. It's called Boot.
It goes meow. There's no W, just meow.
All right, what else is going on?
Well, we all know Elon Musk, and yes. Gareth doesn't think Elon Musk cares about South Africa, but people think that Tesla's on the brink of bankruptcy.
They always say this.
And, is it propaganda? Because he came up with this April Fool's joke on Twitter where there were pictures of him next to a bottle marked Tesla Keeler. With dried tears running down his face as an April Fool's joke. But it might not be entirely untrue because Tesla is battling to produce their Model 3 cars. They're only producing just over 2,000 vehicles a week where they set their lofty goals at 2,500 vehicles a week.
Okay, so they set their goals there. But that if you were producing 2,000 cars a week, you'd be happy,
doing pretty
you
well.
Know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so everybody's got to calm down. You got expectations. So, why should Elon Musk be held to a higher standard than the rest of us? He's also a mortal human being, and he's run a very successful business, a couple of them up to now. Trust the guy to carry on doing that. These people are jumping on like, oh, they're going to go bankrupt because they're producing a whole 500 cars less than they said they would. They said they would, you idiots.
Yeah, but in order for market penetration and for future of your brand, you need to have higher production models because you can't just make a small amount and be like all hipster with it. You need more cars.
In other words, you're saying it's not a craft beer.
No.
Exactly.
It is kind of, but in order to actually have an economic success, you have to have the certain numbers up for longevity and stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, his initial approach was to produce the Model S, which was a more luxury model, mm-hmm. And you don't need to produce volumes with the Model S. You can produce the car to perfection, like Ben's saying. But when it comes to volume or mass produced cars in that segment, you've got to produce the volumes.
Which is the one that's only produced 2,000.
Which is the Model 3, yeah. Yeah, so that I mean that's the trouble, but I think Gareth's right. Just get off the guy's case.
They were the ones who benchmarked 2,500, and they're only producing 2,000. It's not like the market demand is we need 5,000 cars by Wednesday.
Well, the market demand is high.
Well, that's good.
Incredibly high.
You want to have lots of demand, and you want to have a limited supply if you want your product to be in demand.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you want it to be in supply, and then you sit with a warehouse full of cars.
Exactly. So I'd rather have high demand, low supply, because then then the prices are higher.
Right, and you can keep pumping them up.
So how much or what would you do with $20 million?
I'd buy 200 Teslas.
You'd buy
and sell them and sell them because the demand is so high.
What would you do, Robin? $20 million.
Yo, that's a lot of money. I think I'd also bring Tesla to South Africa.
You would?
That's not a bad idea.
Okay.
Robin already.
I like the way these two, they immediately go for like the business opportunity. No one here is just splashing out on something purely for their own happiness.
Selfish.
I know George. Come on. George, you would buy some kind of super cool car. I know you would.
Well, I just tweeted this morning, day before yesterday, I got the opportunity to drive a Mercedes AMG. A bi-turbo V8.
Yes.
Wow.
Unbelievable car. Unbelievable car.
Would you buy one of those?
Probably with $20 million. But
you'd have some change left afterwards.
You probably would. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have quite a bit of change left to buy this license plate, which is going for $20 million.
F1.
UK plate.
FI, yeah, sure. That's what they're going for.
So someone's going to pay $20 million for that license plate?
Probably. And the guy that owns it, he got offered $10 million for this plate a year ago.
Idiot, and he didn't sell it.
And he didn't sell it. Now, he says it's not for sale, but he'll look at offers.
Why would he be so attached to this dummy? He should get rid of that immediately. He could put a picture of his genitals on his license plate. It would be sensible at this point. $10 million and he said no?
He said no.
Is he the biggest Formula One fan in the world?
Don't know. Never heard his name.
Huh. Well, I think that's ridiculous. You wouldn't buy that, right?
No.
No.
No, I wouldn't buy it.
Your head red, I'd check you in with a psychiatrist if you did.
Exactly. All right. And then it's the Chinese Grand Prix next, which I'm looking forward to because Vettel's winning.
George, have free reign. I mentioned none of this earlier. I got the country right.
Tell me about the Chinese Grand Prix.
So Vettel's going into the Chinese Grand Prix ahead, but Bottas almost passed him last weekend. It was touch and go. If they had gone another two laps, I reckon Bottas would have passed him. So I think it's neck and neck with Mercedes and Ferrari this year.
So has it been Mercedes and Ferrari as far back as we can remember, like in living memory? If you've been watching Formula One for the last 20 years.
No, it's been Ferrari and someone.
Yeah.
You know, Ferrari and McLaren, or Ferrari and, you know, one of the other teams, or Ferrari and Mercedes.
That was Red Bull.
And Red Bull.
Yeah, so, but that's not a car brand.
It is. So Red Bull.
You buy a Red Bull
F1
car.
For
sure.
Yeah. So I mean, I think I stand to correction, but I think Ferrari is the longest standing manufacturing team in Formula One.
Okay.
They've been there the longest. So you know, I hope Ferrari stay up there, but somebody's got to give them a run for their money. But at the moment, somebody's got to give Mercedes a run for their money because last year and the year before, they were running away with it.
But you can never see Ferrari stepping away. Like BMW were in, and then it went away because they were looking at efficiency and dynamics, that kind of stuff. Mercedes, they would dabble it because it's all marketing exercises. Yeah. Ferrari is about sports cars.
Exactly.
So that'll always be, like, they'll never go away.
Yeah, exactly. So some people don't like Ferrari for that, but hey, I think they've put their pedal to the metal and showed their worth in Formula One. They've stuck around.
I want us to do something fun next week, and you assign a particular kind of what you think is the car that best represents Sia, Ben, Mabale, and I, and we just have some fun with that. We see what you've chosen, George.
Good plan.
George knows cars, so he'll choose the right ones, or he'll choose the funniest ones. Oh. I don't mind either way. Just do not give me a Fiat Multipla.
I'll tell you what. I'll ask all of my staff to vote.
Yeah. Do a little poll at Auto Trader. And
they all know you, so.
You got some smart people there. All right. Very good.
Good.
Robin, lovely to have you in here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
We will all be visiting because it's a weekend, and that's when you're at your busiest. We'll be visiting Lifestyle Home Garden. And George, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Gareth.
Nice fresh episode nice this week of Auto Central, which you can get on cliffcentral.com. Go and take a look at that and download it, and you can listen to it whenever you like. Today, a big, busy lineup, including Casper, who's back with the Casper Radio Show. We've got Sex Talk with Jonty. Oh. Then there's also a little bit of comedy with the Just Now Comedy Podcast crew and plenty more. So stick around for your day of excitement on cliffcentral.com. Who did I leave out today? Let me just see here quickly. Oh, this is important. I didn't leave anyone out, but I did omit to remind you that it's also just less than 3 weeks to go until Chance the Rapper comes to South Africa. You can catch him along with Shane Eagle, Nadia Nakai, and Frank Casino at the Castle Light Unlocks concert at the Ticket Pro Dome in Joburg. It's all happening 30th of April, and the next day is a public holiday, so there is no reason to miss out. Get your tickets immediately at CompuTicket for the Castle Light Unlocks concert. You don't want to miss this Castle Light Unlocks exclusive. All right, the DA are furious with Patricia DeLille again. This time she attended a Winnie Mandela memorial that was held by the EFF. They want to know why she went there, what she ate there, what tip she gave her Uber driver getting there, and who she picked up between the Sharks and Bulls on Super Brew. She has until midday to answer these questions, or they will take her off the lunch committee again. The DA is so big into discipline. In the wake of the Russian spy debacle in the UK recently, Russian authorities are hitting back by saying Queen Elizabeth is basically a fancy drunk. They made mention to her daily alcohol intake, saying that if she's the head of your nation, then you shouldn't judge what others do. The Queen responded by downing a pint of bitter and burping piss off you commie bastards in one breath. And finally, Qatar are going to play in next year's Copa America tournament. The Emirate Nation is thrilled by this, as they're really struggling to get a decent team together for 2022. Heading over to South America, though, gives them the chance to buy players and get their passports in order before the big event. That's the truth. Enjoy your weekend. We will see you on Monday between 6 and 9. Big day. Fridays always are. Stick around for a whole lot more. Thanks for being part of this morning's show. Had a lot of fun today. I've had a lot of fun. I hope you have too. And if you have anything you want to tell us, you want to get hold of us, you want to communicate with us, all you have to do is WhatsApp 0797482090. You can also use Telegram, you can use WeChat, you can use email, gareth@cliffcentral.com, or you can call during any of the shows today to be a part of it.
This is cliffcentral.com.